Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parsha Shemot, the 24th day of the month of Teves. We made it through another week. Shabbos is almost here. Thank you to our amazing and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU email to sponsor future programs. We always appreciate your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program or any program after today. You can sponsor a program in 2 months from now, is today at 5 p.m. Eastern time, at least for Mondays. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Daniel Binsky of Kehillas Moreshes Yaakov in Brooklyn, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Binsky slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And it will be followed, as always, by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Binsky to learn more about his wonderful community in Brooklyn. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Binsky.
A good night, Shabbos. Thank you very much, Rabbi Herman, for giving me this opportunity. And if I may mention a very big thank you to Rabbi from Chazak, who was the Shatchan, the matchmaker in this situation, in this case. And we really, really appreciate it. I just ask you for 1 second. I apologize. Yes, over here.
And in the world of COVID, with Zoom and conference calls and people working remotely, I'm a believer no one should ever apologize for having children in the background.
Chalila v'chas. No, that's not. That's a big bracha, and I bless everyone with that as well. Actually, once we're here with the OU, and one thing we have in common, probably more, is that the Nasi of our community was Rav Belsky, Zechon Levracha. I was able to learn by him. And Rav Belsky would always say, he would tell people, I bless you that you should have children, you should have to get a new couch every 2 years. Because the kids, thank God, are alive and healthy, and they're jumping, and they take care of the couch, and you have to switch it after 2 years. That was his very big thing by him. So Baruch Hashem. Now, this week's Parsha, not entirely the Parsha, we're starting a new Sefer, a new book, right? We finished Bereshis, and we're on to the next. We don't take a rest. We keep on going, we keep on trudging, no matter what. And we're opened up to a whole new world. Sefer Bereshis, the first book of the Torah, spoke about the creation of the world. And not only the creation of the world, the creation of us as a people. The beginning from Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the 12 tribes, going down to Egypt. And here we are in Sefer Shemot, the book of Exodus, as its name says, the Ramban explains, Nachmanides, that this is the Sefer HaGeula. This is the book of redemption. So if so, why does it begin with the bondage? The bondage, bondage is not really the thing that comes to mind when I talk about redemption. Says the Ramban in his introduction to the book of Shemot, a beautiful thing, which I can tell I heard around 2.5 years ago, and it has really it changed my whole outlook. It changed my life, really. He says like this. First of all, the going down, the redemption is not only the end result. Everything that we went through in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, whether it was the actual bondage, whether it was the time that we lived there with our with a brother like Yosef, who was the viceroy of Egypt. You know, that doesn't sound like exile or bondage to me. Pretty good connections. But in essence, that was really the beginning of it. That was the beginning of the bondage. It didn't seem like it. And when everything came to a head, right, when we actually started being worked hard and forced labor and all that, that was already the end. That was the end of the last step before we were redeemed. And just as a thought that came to mind yesterday, you know, we find ourselves in maybe something similar. You know, we have, the Jewish nation throughout our exile has always had different times that were easier, times that were a little tougher, times that were very much tougher. And from here you see that when things get really, or seem to get really tough, and seem very dark, and seem very bad, for us it's a sign that, you know, the redemption is all the more nearer. And very famous, the story, which was recorded by witnesses, but from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who was the Rashid of Branovich in Europe. And when he was taken out to be killed with the people that he was with during World War II, he told them, be careful to make sure that, I mean, he was a giant, you know, to be able to think like that at a time like that. Be careful that whatever we think, your thoughts should be pure, he told the people around him, because we are the korbanos tzibur, we are the offerings, we are the sacrifices for, with the fire that's gonna burn us, is gonna build Torah in America. And it's brought down still from Chaim Volozhin and maybe even the Vilna Goyim, that America is the last stop before the Geula, before the day that we're all waiting for. And now is a tough time. There's a pandemic. A lot of unrest, political unrest. And people are wondering what's gonna be. Well, for us, we have, the Torah teaches us. In the tribe, we went through very similar times. There were times that were quiet. There were times that were, and there, then there was the bondage. But right, that was already the end. Hopefully things shouldn't get bad. And we should be able to live in a peaceful way, to be able to serve Hashem, to do the mitzvahs and with peace of mind. But not to forget who's in charge, not to forget who's watching over us, not to forget who's looking out for us, not to forget who's holding our hand every step of the way, and to understand that we may not always understand everything. And to remember that when things get, when things become very, it seems like things are very tight, that's when we call out and we recognize then that the only one that can help us, the only one that's with us, is Hashem Himself. He will answer us, and we'll see the breadth and enormity of the redemption that awaits us. And the Ramban goes on to say a tremendous concept that we should keep in mind. What is Geula? What does it mean to be redeemed? Just that we came out of Egypt, that we were no longer slaves? No. Says the Ramban, Golos, the exile, is not complete, meaning we are not considered redeemed until we reach back to the level of our forefathers. Adyem shuvam el mekoyman vel mailas avoysam yeshuvu. The level of our forefathers, to reach the forefathers is so great. We're so little. How can we get there? Obviously we could, he says, because when we came out of Mitzrayim, we came out of Egypt, we were still in exile. We were running around the Midbar. We were going from place to place in the desert. When was the redemption complete? When we built the Mishkan. When we built the tabernacle. And God rested His presence fully among us. That's redemption. redemption, freedom, is when we're back to that original state of relationship with God. Yes, in the desert we had it very nice. We had the manna would fall. We learned Torah. We could call on an infrastructure. There was a life. It was okay. But we have to understand that we can't be satisfied with okay. We have to have the best. We have to strive for the best, and we can. And what I take from this is a lesson in appreciation, to appreciate ourselves. Now, appreciation doesn't just mean to say thank you. Appreciation means to recognize the full worth of. The biggest destruction is our failure to realize our power of construction. Is our failure to realize the power of that we can construct. Making an impact doesn't necessarily mean a grandiose thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, what made him Moshe Rabbeinu? What made him a leader? What made him who he was? Vayar b'sevloisim, when he was able to go out and not just see things that are happening, not just read headlines, but nosan eino v'libo liyismeter aleihem, to give his heart and his to see and to internalize and to really feel and to do something about it, about the suffering of his fellow man, of someone else. We all have that inside of us. And as strange as it may seem, yes, we can. We can achieve, we can be the ones to bring back this full redemption, of bringing back this full relationship that we enjoyed when we were at home before we went into exile. And I was thinking, going into Shabbos, we said something very nice, but what are we doing, Lamaisa? What are we doing about it? What can we do to show that, Hashem, we want to be just with you. We want that optimal relationship with you. And what better day to show that than Shabbos? Shabbos is a time when it's just us and God. It's yichud. It's like the chasan and kal, the bride and groom, go into a secluded room after the chuppah, just them. Imagine if in that room, they would start checking their phone for the latest headlines, for the latest messages. Bizarre, crazy, right? Shabbos is that day. What can we do as a step in that direction to show that, God, I want to be focused on you. I want to be close with you. I want to be one with you. I think especially today with so much going on and the temptation to discuss it so great, how much would it mean if at least by the Shabbos meal, we'll abstain from that and we'll focus on Shabbos. We'll focus on the Torah. We'll focus on God. We'll focus on each other. We'll focus on ourselves. We'll maximize, we'll appreciate fully the opportunity that we have to sit by a Shabbos meal. It's not a dinner. It's not a lunch. It's a Suda Shabbos. And God willing, that should bring us closer to the day Shekulei Shabbos, the day that is fully, that is 1,000% completely Shabbos, the days of Mashiach, the Meir of Yomeinu, Amen, Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll now say the three chapters of Tehillim. We'll begin with Chapter 23, Perek Chav Gimel. The wonderful, beautiful, and soothing words of David HaMelech, of King David himself. Everyone join me together. Mizmoy leDavid Adonai Roi lo yechzor Binois deshe yarbitzeini Almei menuchos yenaaleini Nafshi yeshoivev Yamcheini b'magle tzedek Leman shemoy גם כי אלך בגית תלמובת לא ירורו כי אתו ימודי שיסטחו משנתך אימו ינחמוני תארך לפוני שולחו נגד תוירי רוי דישנתו ושמן רוי שיקו יסירבויו אחתוי וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיוי ושבתי לבית אדוינוי לא ירח יומים Chapter 121, פרק קוף חוף אלף Shir lamalois esoinai eleorim me'ayin yovo yezri ezri me'yimadoinoi oisei shomayim v'oret al yitein lamoit raglecho al yonum shoymerecho Hinei lo yonum velo yishon shemer Yisrael. Adonai shemedecho, Adonai tilecho, al yad yiminecho. Yoimo mashemesh lo yakecho, v'yoreyach baloilo. Adonai yishmorcho, mikol ro yishmor es nafshecho. Adonai yishmor tizcho v'yecho, me'ato v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shira ma'alois mimamakim kerosicho Adonai, Adonai shimovi koili, tiyeno ozmecho kashuvois lekor tachanunoi, im avoinois tishmor yo Adonai miyamoid, ki imecho atzlicho leman tivorei, ki visi Adonai ki viso nafshi velidvoro yorchopi, nafshi la Adonai mishoimrim laboiker, shoimrim laboiker, yachel Yisroel el Adonai, kim Adonai yachel sedvar beyimoy seduk, Israel, Mikoel We'll now say the Mishaberach L'Cholim, prayer for the sick. All the sick should be healed and all the healthy should stay healthy. Mishaberach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchok V'Yakov Moshe Aaron Davud Shlomo Moshe Rivka Rachav Elayu Yivarach Mira Pesach Cholim. Ba'avur, shonu mispalalim ba'avuram. Itchaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yimol racham aleim lach, limo mul rapois, mul rachayoisom, v'yishlach lo emeir refuah shleim v'nashamayim l'chol leivoreim v'lechol gileim v'tzoyev shorchor l'Yisrael, refuah sanefesh, refuah saguf, hashto ba'agolo v'zman koriv, v'noimar omeim. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael, הנתונים בתורו ובשביו, אם דמבין ביום ובין ביבושו, המוקוים ירחם עליהם ויוציאי מתורו לרווחו ומאפלו לרוירו, ומשיבוד לגולו, אשתו בעגולו ובזמן קורי ונוימר אמן.
אמן. Thank you so much. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
ברוך השם. Hoydu Lashem ki toiv ki le'olam chazir. Levitin Badishev explains that to mean Hoydu Lashem, we thank on the past. Ki toiv, we thank on the present. And ki le'olam chazir, we thank about the future.
Beautiful idea.
Thankful and grateful.
So to get us started, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, everyone's obviously familiar with Brooklyn, but if you can give us a little bit more of a background and some information about Kehillat Moreshes Yaakov of your wonderful shul.
Sure. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Yeah, Brooklyn is going to be coming out of town soon, so maybe not so familiar to everybody. But, our community is really, I'm the assistant rabbi. My father is the chief, and he founded it back in late 1900s under the direction of Rav Yisrael Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Tzivracha, who was really the reason for my parents, for my Yisro. I'm the only American born in my family. I'm the youngest. And my parents came here, to work with the Russian immigration. My parents are from Vilna, the former Soviet Union. And they were invited here to work with the Russian immigration, the Kiruv, and to bring people closer to Judaism, to Hashem. And for 2 years, officially the contract was for 2 years, and then they would go back. After 2 years, during that time, my father thankfully met Rav Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Tzivracha, and whom we very, very sorely miss till this very day. And he was told, and Rav Belsky was a poistik, he didn't just say, whatever he said was the law. And he said, you have no right to go back. You have people that have come close to you, people that depend on you for guidance and for direction. And you got to stay here. And that's what happened. My parents sold their apartment in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And we stayed here. And we're almost 30 years later. And at this point, I mean, my own wife grew up in the community. You know, my in-laws were from the first families. My parents actually arranged their wedding. And we're at a point where we're holding, you know, three generations, one family, even already four, of people who came from a place that no one ever dreamed that Judaism would ever, Yiddishkeit, whatever, you know, revive itself from there. And here we are, you know, the Siyat Dishmai, with God's help, not just, you know, affiliated, but fully a Torah observant to the highest degree, and going strong and going forward. And that's what the community is made up of, people who made the decision to turn their life around. And now we're holding already by the children and grandchildren. Yes, it's a real community. It's not just a shul. I call it a shtetl in a big city. It's a little a village in a big city. We're all like family. And back in the day, you know, when we were a little smaller, so a wedding, any simcha, everyone, there was no catering, everyone cooked together. It was one of the most best everyone lives in those days. And as we say, from cradle to grave and everything in between, we have a bikahoyla, a kadisha, a gedulas chesed, and you know, in times of sorrow and in times of happiness, we're all there together. And it's an outreach, you know, it's a place where people from all over can reach out for whatever it is that they need and have someone who speaks the language that even if they're here for 40, 50 years, but when a crisis hits or something like that, your mother tongue is what makes you feel the best. And
wow, true. And, what a story. You
know, yeah, Baruch Hashem. It's in short.
And I feel in a way you also responded to my next question of what motivated and drove you into the rabbinate. Well, I think growing up in your parents' home and being a part of the community and witnessing all that they did, it's
absolutely.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I agree. Yeah, that's true. It's not just what, it's who. You know, there's what, and then there's who. And the who was Rebbelt Kizachem Lemracha. Because obviously, and I always grew up with it, and I was always, you know, going in that direction. I've been helping my father since I was able to talk, you know, in some way, shape, or form. You know, as I got older, obviously, things started becoming, you know, more substantial, more, until I was officially instituted as the assistant rabbi a number of years ago. But we've been doing that job unofficially, as far as I can remember, in many different ways. And obviously, you know, watching my parents, watching them, you know, my father could have been a very successful lawyer. He could have been a doctor. He was a medic in the IDF in the 1982 war, war with Lebanon. You know, he had it all planned out for him in Israel. Our whole family was in Israel. You know, my grandfather, who lived in Bewell, is still there. My cousins, my aunts, my uncles, everyone's there. And to leave all that, you know, because of a sense of mission, of doing what you need to do. And my father says it to today. You know, you got to live life, you know, the matav kravi. You know, we're on the front. You don't have the luxury of thinking too much, of doing, you know, what we want. We have to do what we need to do, what the right thing is to do.
And achrayus.
That made a very big... Huh?
Achrayus is a responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely, a responsibility. And that made a tremendous impression on me. And I was always, you know, going in that direction, involved and helping. And then came when Rzelsky himself told me, you know, I was young. I was 21, you know, happened to have been married already and with a child. Most of my friends were just going to grow and learning. And I was going to learn for Smicha. And I asked Rebelke, I said, you know, maybe I should spend some more time, you know, learning, you know, the yeshiva system and all that. And he said, you have to learn and develop your learning and things like that. But you have a responsibility to continue what your father started. So your decision making is different than that of your friends. So that's the who that pushed me in, and that pretty much had my work very clearly cut out to me, and it's something that we try to hold on to till today. You know, what would Rebbe do? What would Rebbe do? How would he handle the situation? And it's not the same, obviously, and we're trying to live up to whatever he taught us as much as possible. But the work is l'hachzer atar l'yoshna, you know, a beautiful, something tremendous existed in the former Soviet Union in those areas beforehand. And that really, and every Jew that's scattered out, lays a telemet, a chelik l'kamimal, a part of God, a beautiful diamond that has, just has to be uncovered. And our job is to, as Jews generally, and us in particular, is to uncover, to polish those diamonds, and to bring back the glory that that's really there all along. To re-glorify, really to reinstate the crown where it belongs.
Amazing. Rabbi Vinsky, unfortunately we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being on today's call and for sharing beautiful Dvar Torah and really giving us so much to learn about from your incredible community and the legacy of Rabdalski and your father and others. So thank you so much for being on the call. And as we are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, the tova for good, and may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Yehuda Myers of Lincolnwood Jewish Congregation in Chicago, Illinois. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, meaningful, restful, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.